Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Coming up on today's Basket Buds on the Athletic NBA Show, it's the playoffs. We're going over every series. It's the second round. You're getting Bucks Heat, you're getting Raptors Celtics, you're getting Clippers Nuggets, and you're getting Lakers Rockets. So strap in. It's time for the show.
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Dave DeFore, Trevon Edwards, Wozni Lambre, the cultural anthropologist, Jay King, and we've got Andrew Schleck producing the show this week. And guys, oh man, I was ready to just unleash. I've got sound bites, you know, I've got quotes, I've got clips. I was going to, because now it's not going to make sense, right? I can't wait till next Sunday.
Oh, it makes sense.
I can't wait till next Sunday.
Oh, it makes sense.
You know what I was
going to
do? I was going to start the pod, and then for 10 minutes, I was just going to walk around my apartment, not be on microphone, and just scream. Just scream. Just, you know, things about them doubting me. I can't believe I was mocked. I can't believe I was scoffed, because Jay, especially you. Trey was reserved, although he did say he usually tunes me out when I start talking. But Trey was reserved. Dave was questioning, but you, Jay King, were outright mocking.
I went hard.
My trust in the Miami Heat. What say you now?
I went hard. I was obnoxious. And I spent this entire week thinking about how insufferable you were going to be in this podcast. It was... The first three games were just awful for the Bucks, for me, for anyone
for
who hates Zach Harper. It was
for the thousands of people.
It was just a brutal, brutal run, and I overrated the Bucks. I underrated the Heat. Mike Budenholzer, what the hell are you doing, man? Playing Giannis and Middleton 34, 35 minutes.
Well, that's the ceiling.
In a must win game?
That's the ceiling. You know, 35, 36 minutes.
What
is pushing it.
What are you doing? And I
Chris Middleton played 48 minutes today.
He had to.
Yeah. And oh, he was really fatigued down the stretch, too, shooting people's faces off.
Right.
Just a poor showing. And I've batted back against some of the Bucks hate because they lost to the champions last year. They lost to Kawhi Leonard. They're obviously not a perfect team, but I gave them the benefit of the doubt.
The Heat.
And those guys just didn't deserve it, man. They didn't deserve it. Budenholzer. Ugh. Ugh.
You know, they could come back from this 3-0 deficit and win this series, go on, get to the final. I'm going to doubt them in every single playoff series, even if they did that.
Yeah.
I have no, this series should be over.
So this is the interesting thing. Trey, I've been curious because before the bubble, I did say, I was like, look, because there's no home court, because there's no travel, anything, we could see the first 0-3 comeback in NBA history, right? Like I thought that for a second. And then I thought better of it because I thought, well, if someone's down 0-3, you're just one night away from going back home. And you get to see your family and your friends and your girl and all that stuff again, right? And so why would you try? Why would you give your effort? And then the first couple minutes of game one, you know, Giannis had like 18 points and, I don't know, 30 seconds of play. Like he was the only one fighting for a bit. Yeah, he looked incredible. And then he re-injures the ankle. He screams. He shoots the free throws. He gets out of the game and never comes back. But Trey, like, I didn't expect the Bucks to put up this kind of fight, especially once Giannis went down.
They're still an NBA basketball team, and a lot hidden goes along with this. This is the thing that you have to factor in. They quit on him. Kiss him goodbye now. Pack his bags for him. Right now, Giannis is a very emotional guy. He treats that as, they have my back. They played hard. They didn't quit. they gave us another chance. You know what I mean? They're my brothers in the foxhole. You know what I mean? And he has a good relationship with them. I think that outside narratives have been created and sending him to all these other teams. But he really likes Milwaukee, like, a lot. I know he's made kind of statements about, you know, not liking big cities or whatever like that. And that doesn't really play into mine. But, like, now it's kind of like that whole unfinished business. And we don't give the Bucks a fair assessment to grow as a team. They've only been good for 2 years. That's the thing. You know what I mean? We treat them like it's in the Clippers and they've been good for 5 years and just peaked. And it's like, oh, they had their shot. Glad these guys are out of the way. And it's like, no. Most of these Eastern Conference teams, when LeBron left, had a new opportunity to, you know, kind of show their stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that the reason they have such a shorter, you know, rope essentially is because of the impending free agency next year, right? Or whenever that's going to end.
And they're old.
Well, I don't even know if it's old. Like, because Giannis is 25. Like, you can put a bunch of dudes around Giannis for a long time in theory and be okay.
Yeah, but most of those guys that are quote-unquote old are kind of on expiring deals or, like, not really kind of coming back like that. You know what I mean? And they don't really use Lopez and them, like, crazy over usage as they should. Like, I mean, when he's not making shots, he's not making shots. Like, he was pissed. He got taken off the floor. Robin Lopez didn't even suit up. He was wearing some retro shorts and some flip-flops. So, you know, they do have to kind of shop around and see what they can get. Obviously, Malcolm Brogdon was too expensive, and he wanted out anyway. So they need to go after a guy like Bradley Beal or, you know, a legit two-guard to help them out, you know, where they can have a three-head front.
Well, let's just be honest about this whole thing. They knew the problems that they had. They didn't address them. They just banked on talent, which, by the way, I'm guilty of saying, oh, yeah, the talent probably is going to win. And then they meet a team that is built like it's designed to just destroy what they do. And they didn't have a counterpunch, despite winning game four. You know, like, they kind of got lucky to be in that position. I still don't really think that was a foul on Dragic under the basket on DiVincenzo. So, you know, they're lucky to have pulled away one game, and all of the flaws that they had last season just reared their ugly head in this series. They don't have athletic role players, which you need, you know, and it seems like Miami has all of them. So they lack in talent, but they've got guys who can at least put pressure on you, put pressure on the ball. And then, you know, and I'm very guilty of this. I didn't trust the Miami rookies at all because I just typically don't
Tyler
trust
Hero's
rookies.
Amazing, but apparently, man. Tyler Hero can.
This is insane.
He just has stones.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, well, I can't wrap my head around that. These rookies all, playing I like can. This, but
there's no crowd. Like,
and there you go. Well, that helps, right?
Is he technically really a rookie still?
Hero?
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, he's been in the league 9 years because of the pandemic. But
well, yeah, I'm just saying the bubble pause, right, that gives guys a whole nother breath of fresh air because they're getting that experience of actually, like, all right, this is what it is. Because in real life, no, he would have probably still had the jitters. He had a chance to get better and work on his game for 4 months. And I don't think too many rookies get that huge gap. You know what I'm saying? So you have to credit that and put a .5 on that. But yeah, he definitely made some big shots. You know what I'm saying? Like, his game is modeled behind Devin Booker, and I see something close to it. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, how he goes about his shot selection and stuff like that. But he has a lot to learn, and not being a main guy is going to be tremendous in his development because he can be a third, fourth guy and just come in and do what he does. And they have so many guys. Like, I was just looking at their depth throughout this series more so about how many guys could get off. You know, like, obviously, Zoran had – I mean, it's not Zoran. Goran hasn't been, like, you know, consistent all season. But then he just wakes up when he wants to and just do some stuff like that. And then you got Jimmy where he can go a fourth quarter and not score. And Duncan Robinson or Jay Crowder or whoever it may be, Bam Adebayo. Hell, even Kelly Olynyk could give you like 10 points. They're really, I think depth is key in the bubble right now.
Let me swing it back to the Bucks real quick. Because I think it's important that we talk this out. Because what we saw after Giannis went down, first of all, I didn't think they had a chance once he went down. He put up 19 points in 11 minutes. He looked like he was on a mission, right? We were even talking in our group chat. this guy might punch someone before the game is over. That's how he looked, you know, fired up.
Did you just quote yourself from the group chat?
I didn't say that. Somebody in the group chat said it. Too deep. But then we get to see, okay, here's what happens when Giannis isn't on the court. Look at how their offense mixed it up a little bit. Guys were being more aggressive when they got the ball. Why won't Bud put Giannis in, like, have him as a role man more often and let these other guys do some stuff? And then that way, Giannis is, like, not a secondary creator, but he's not your only creator. You've got other guys doing stuff. Other people are a threat. I don't get it.
Yeah, and you said something earlier that really, I think, hit the biggest point with the Bucks. They didn't have a counterpunch. And I know that everybody gets at Budenholzer for his lack of playoff adjustments, and I think that's warranted. But I think it's also worth noting that so many of these other teams, every other team that's still alive in the Eastern Conference playoffs, they're not making adjustments. They're doing things they did throughout the season. Right. Those coaches are tinkering. Those coaches are – Nick Nurse is throwing out box of ones.
Nick Nurse played a triangle in two yesterday. Like, I mean,
yeah, but they do that stuff all throughout the season. That stuff is effective because they drill it, because they play it, because they're used to it. The Bucks,
and you might lose 5 extra games during, or maybe even 10 extra games during the regular season because you're working through stuff and trying it out. But the truth is, we just have seen it too many times in the playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, you've got to have the counterpunch. Then you got to have something else to go to, right? Like, if that's not working, and they just don't do that.
And I do think part of it is they don't their roster is kind of limiting. Like, they don't have that guy who just, other than Giannis, who breaks you down. They don't have that. Like, Middleton will shoot incredible. He's an incredible shot maker, but he's not going to, like, break down your defense. And so I do think there's a limitation on the roster in some ways, but the lack of flexibility that they show in their play style is just, it's bad.
You know, the thing that actually caught my eye today was they go up by 8. I think it was 92-100. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, this is kind of it. It's over. And lo and behold, for the first time in the series, they string together a bunch of stops on possessions when they needed to. And for me, and I've been saying this the entire bubble, their defense has just been so underwhelming since they got to Orlando. Like, we all thought this was going to be a team mm-hmm. that could get big stops and big moments, and they just straight up haven't been able to against the Heat. You know, like, nobody's accusing the Heat of being, like, the 7 seconds or less Suns or anything like that. Like, this is a nice offensive team, but they're not some offensive juggernaut. And the Bucks just could not stop them. And finally today, when they came roaring back, they strung together a bunch of stops. And down the stretch, they got shots. They got stops. Some of that was Miami just missing shots finally. You know, Jay Crowder was freaking 5 of 7 from 3 at one point. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Finished 6 of 12.
There you go.
Goran was 1 of 9 on the game. Like, Goran's been on fire.
Yeah, and so some of it was the Heat missing shots, but it was like, it was nice to finally see Milwaukee look like a top tier defense, that the type of defense that we thought they were.
I think that's a great point, because even though Miami can destroy drop coverage, which we've seen already in this series, right? Like, the way that they cut, the way they set those back screens, I mean, it's kind of designed for that. If the Bucks drop coverage was at the level that it was in like January, February, then maybe this is like 2-2 right now. Maybe it's 3-1 Bucks. But what they were doing, like, their drop coverage was really bad.
Yeah, and this was by far the best defense during the regular season. Like, they were laps ahead of everyone else in defense during the regular season. But it just doesn't translate. It didn't translate last year against Toronto. Fred VanVleet, I mean, he launched his career off that series. And now it's not working against Miami.
Fred's about to make $80 million off that series.
He's really good.
No, he is really good. Don't think you're getting out of an annoying reaction from me once this thing's over. I'm just not going to take a victory lap before the victory is complete, because that would be used against me in a court of law that I can't. Yeah, exactly. Like, it'll be an Instagram video or something. You know, it'll be something.
I know this is not going to happen, but what if the Bucks came back?
Did they just come back?
Then it'll be us. It'll be us taking the victory.
Yeah, I mean, at the,
would you? We still have to like make fun of them, course, right?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I would.
They're down 3-1 in the second round against the fifth seed, bro. Like, is that like? Come on, man! Like, that's insane, dude. Like, this team was so much better than everybody during the regular season, and it's not to harp on. I mean, I guess we kind of do have to harp on, but
Zach, I mean, Waz, but you have to think about it. Every quote unquote good team that they ran into outside of the Lakers early on, they got cracked. Mm. They was getting cracked by quote unquote good teams. And before they went into the bubble, they was like that. Actually, coronavirus saved their ass. Because when you really think about
Giannis
it,
Giannis was hurt. On yeah, they were on a
Giannis
skid.
Was hurt. Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bledsoe was hurt. Like, you can go down the line. Like, they didn't come into this. And then, obviously, going in here, they haven't been great in the bubble either. So, it wasn't like, oh, we're supposed to blow them out of the water. Like, they really just kind of hit that wall and kept sliding. So, like, now, although they made it out of the first round, you know, with Giannis being out, man. And if they did, quote unquote, win some games and make this close, like if we did get a game 7 dramatically, I don't know.
Didn't the Bucks go down 0-3 a few years ago to the Bulls and they forced like a game 6?
I could see that. Yeah, because they were very young, though. They were coached by Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's just like, you know, you factor all this in and they're still trying to figure this out.
When we talk about their drop coverage and pick and roll, that's a great defense for the regular season when you get to play the Kings and the Knicks and and all of these other crappy teams all the time, right? But the best teams, they're able to make adjustments based on their matchups, right? Like, if I'm playing against Steph Curry, I'm not going to play a drop defense. Because that's not going to work. That's going to be death for me. I don't, like... And it feels like we're beating a dead horse in this Budenholzer thing, but they don't. Like, and you can...
Right. But there's more to it than that,
beating
too.
A dead
like,
deer.
Like, just think about what you said. Doesn't play around with different lineups. Doesn't play around
your
with
team
different
is
offensive
down,
looks.
Your team is down 0-2. You don't think DJ... And you're playing your two best players 34 minutes. Like, I know Mike D'Antoni watching that. Right. Like, you must
would
be out
athlete,
your monkey ass
like,
mind, bro. Like, what?
Would an athlete like DJ Wilson affect this series for the Bucks? I think that, like, that would be a
be
useful guy
right
to have.
Now, heading back to Milwaukee.
Maybe. I mean, but you know what I mean? Just having the option of having another. I mean, he's better than Marvin Williams playing defense.
No, because Marvin at least knows what to do. Yes. DJ Wilson has no idea what
but
to do.
But they still have him go. They still have him dropping. So I'd rather have the guy that can actually get up and affect.
No, I'll take the guy that can take a charge.
But
like I gotta agree.
I don't get why they won't. Why they just won't do simple switching? It's so easy.
Well, when they did that,
you don't need to go and have this
when
huge
they did
practice.
That, second quarter, like Heat offense just stagnated. Like Butler couldn't solve it. Kendrick Nunn couldn't solve it. By the way, we are due for a big fourth quarter from Jimmy Butler in Game 5. Game 1, he almost outscored the Bucks on his own in the fourth quarter. Game 3, he did outscore the Bucks on his own in the fourth quarter. So Game 5, this should be a pretty epic collapse if just based on how the series has gone so far. You know, Jimmy Butler likes football. You know, also likes football. DraftKings, everybody. Football's finally back. It's time to celebrate with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports that has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $1 million as the top prize, with a total of $3 million up for grab for this Thursday's football contest. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. All you have to do is download the DraftKings app using the promo code MAYS. That's M-A-Y-S. Draft 6 players for the season opener. Stay under the salary cap. See how your team stacks up against competition. Head to the app and start making it rain right now. New users who sign up today on DraftKings using the code MAYS will receive a free shot at that $1 million prize with your first deposit. And for a limited time, again, $1 million prize, $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus with that promo code MAYS, M-A-Y-S. It's a $5 minimum deposit that's required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Get in on the action and make some money. Speaking of making money, I don't know. League's got to be making a little bit of money now that the Celtics and the Raptors are 2-2, right? There's got to be something. Somewhat a transition.
Yeah. Are the Celtics in trouble?
Well, so according to Fred VanVleet to Sam Amick, after game three, Celtics fucked up. That's what he said. Said they fucked up. Letting the Raptors get back into this. That OG shot was, it was a great shot. Jaylen Brown had a great contest on that.
No.
No?
No.
Jay is saying he lost his man in the first place. And so to give him credit for the great contest is kind of...
you can't leave someone wide open enough that even a great hustle play can't get you there. On the last play, when only a three can beat you. And so... And game four for the Celtics was just why you don't let the end of game three happen, because sometimes you're going to go 7-for-35 from deep, especially against a Raptors defense that is so tough and so flexible and so versatile. And so, yeah, they fucked up.
I mean, he still made him alter the shot a little bit. That's not his normal shooting motion. No?
I don't remember when they changed the 0.7 catch and shoot rule, but I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the 0.5 and I'm like, oh man, there's no way. Unless they threw it to the opposite side of the court and somehow got an open look, which no way Boston would give that up.
The mistake that I think they made is putting Taco Fall in. I get it. He's tall.
It's cute,
and
right?
I get it. Kyle Lowry's not. But that's not a difficult play. Like, that pass is amazing. I don't want to discount the pass, but like, to find the ball around this dude who's like 7'5 as opposed to a guy who would normally be 6'10, like, that's not a huge difference in just making it that pass. And so, considering the inbounder can't get the ball back and have time to shoot, I just didn't understand guarding the inbound. And I talked to a few people and they said, no, you absolutely guard the inbound there. And they're smarter basketball people than I am. So, I guess I have to trust them on that. I just don't like the strategy. I'd rather have someone playing free safety.
Free safety, yeah. I feel that.
I think it really mattered that it was in the bubble and not a place with a crowd. Like, that was one of the instances where Lowry was able to move back several feet beyond where he would be in a normal NBA stadium. And I'm not sure the Celtics accounted for that enough when they decided to put Taco in there, because in a normal situation, it's going to be really tough to throw a pass, cross-court pass, 70 feet or however many feet it was, probably not that long, to on the money so that the shooter can shoot it with 0.5 seconds left. But by Lowry being able to move back, it wasn't nearly as much of a hindrance as it would have been. And he threw a perfect pass.
Yeah, it was a great pass.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, OG had a perfect catch. I mean, it was insane. I really couldn't believe
it. Okay, so then game four... Pascal Siakam gets going, not from three-point range, but he gets going. Marcus Smart is a pumpkin again when it comes to three-point shooting. I think he's 3 for his last 15 or something like that. And Jaylen Brown struggled. He struggled with foul trouble, and I think that helped Pascal get going. And then he just couldn't make shots. That's where the Celtics' lack of depth really, really showed, and maybe that's where the Gordon Hayward absence really showed, but it felt like they just needed somebody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, Kemba getting into foul trouble is really where they needed Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, the non-Kemba minutes have been bad for them this whole series.
Because they're not playing Carson
Hayward
Edwards.
Helps out so much
I've been
with
saying
them.
This.
That is perfect.
Well, they want it to be fair.
But yeah, and I think the way that the Raptors help and the way that they fly off of non-threats, like Shimmy Ogilvy, the Celtics put him out there, partly to space the floor because he's actually one of their better bench shooters, but he can't make a play. And so he's going to make, you know, 36% of his threes, but he's not going to punish them when they fly by. Like, he's not going to break them down. And so they're okay with that. And I think it's really mattered that Hayward hasn't been there the way that the Celtics offense has bogged down. I think, I mean, they need Kemba, Tatum, and Jaylen to drive the majority of their offense, at least on nights when Marcus Smart isn't going to make 5 straight 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. So there's not much margin for error for their top guys. It is a fun series. It's just a grimy series, though. Both these teams are just having so much trouble scoring that I'm enjoying it.
And, you know, you got to love the innovation, right? Like, sometimes it gets too cute when you're throwing in Taco Fall, like, first sweat that he's breaking in the playoffs on the most important possession of the game. But like Zach said, Nick Nurse is throwing out triangle and twos. Like, it's just dope to watch these coaches.
Like, college coaches don't even run that. That's like, it's...
It's again, it's the opposite of what's happening over with Milwaukee, right? Like, it's dudes just trying to come up with ways to win.
You know what else is opposite? The Raptors have basically decided that Lowry and Van Vliet are not going to sit ever. And I think that's been a big part of the series. I think that will continue to be a big part of the series. They need those guys on the court, but they also need those guys to do everything. Like, everything. And I think their durability has been really, really impressive the last few games while they're playing all those minutes. I'm curious to see whether they can do it for seven games, because they're playing like 45, 46 minutes apiece. It's insane.
Well, if there's a criticism of Nick Nurse, it's that his half-court offense is just not very great.
What the?
And, you know, having an average half-court offense in the playoffs usually doesn't bode well for you.
Well, I mean... Waz earmuffs us. We don't really have anybody to go to. I mean,
well, right.
Don't. It's tough. Like, it, yeah. They don't, man. As much as we love Pascal and we love Fred, I love Fred VanVleet, but when he's not making his threes, you know he's not finishing at the cup. Lowry at this point is like, if he doesn't get those ridiculous foul-seeking behavior type of calls, he's not scoring on you. It's tough for them to they're grinding out every single possession at this point, especially. And the thing is, Boston is a great defense. You know, like, if they were playing perhaps the Nuggets, you know, maybe it wouldn't be so much of a big deal. But they're playing against a stout defense. It's just, this is just what it's going to be.
So where do we think this goes? Like, Trey, what's your read on Celtics Raptors?
I'm still Raptors in seven. I like my call on that. Like, Fred VanVleet was actually right and got a chance to, you know, get their groove back, get their footing. They need to find a way. I think, I'm not sure who it was, but just Pascal Siakam getting his confidence back. You know what I mean? Like, he got a play where he blew by Kemba Walker and then did the same thing to Marcus Smart. And he has to believe that. You know, he's being so timid and you know, he's taking three-point shots. He needs to get to the basket in more mid-range and try to get to the line and get it going. And, you know, if Lowry can continue to score in front of Van Vliet, I think they're okay. You know, I mean, just not asking for a while. It's just going to be a team effort. You know, I mean, a bunch of guys haven't been contributing. They've been shooting bad. But they got the Celtics right where they want them. I mean, pretty much. I don't think they always considered themselves being a better team. This is probably the best matchup out of all the second round. That kind of evens out. With no injuries, no excuses involved. It's just teams just kind of doing what they do, and they're both defending each other well. So I'm not too crazy about it, because like Jason Tatum, like, he can either get it going or he can go 5 for 18. You know, so those are the situations that you see, and clearly Marcus Smart, sometimes he steps up. You gotta think about the games that they really won. Marcus Smart played amazing, and if he's not playing well and other guys aren't contributing as much, then We got us a series.
The thing is that Boston's issues the last two games have not been defense. It's been offense. That's it.
Yep.
And they nearly won the one game. They had to, you know, obviously OG hits a big shot. But it's all about their offense. And this was a really good offense this year. I just think they'll regress to the mean and probably win the next two games. Boston in six, I would guess.
Ooh, the DeFore. Is that a DeFore guarantee?
No, because if I'd guaranteed it would be, you know, somehow Toronto in five.
It's not de foresight.
Lord have mercy.
No. What happened, Watson?
No.
Just give me the Celtics, man. Like, I'm a sucker for.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. They can just score. They're just really good. Playoffs, and I mean, Toronto. Like,
they have two guys who are shot makers.
Toronto's half court
limitation. Toronto just doesn't. Yep. And, you know. Going 7 for 35, like, I got to think they can get that to 12 for 35.
No love for Van Vliet?
I love Van Vliet. When God the jumper's
dang,
falling,
as
it's
a shot maker, no.
When the pull-up is falling, it's beautiful. But when it's not, it's like, he's not going to just break a dude down one-on-one.
Hey, he's made enough for me to believe. I'll say that.
Yeah, I've got Raptors in seven, too. Like, I think I had Raptors in six when it started. Now, I think it'll be seven. I think they'll trade the next two. And then game seven, I just think that cliched championship medal will show through and they'll be able to eke one out. But Jay, what's like the, I guess, what's the biggest adjustment that Boston needs to make?
One variable I'm interested in seeing unfold is the Robert Williams minutes, because he's been really good. And I think Marc Gasol just isn't athletic enough anymore to help and then recover to Robert Williams. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Brad Stevens starts Robert Williams in game five to get that Gasol matchup, because Williams can struggle with the pick and pop against Ibaka. But I think their offense kind of needs a pick-me-up right now. And Robert Williams, to me, his finishing, the way he attacks the basket, Tice hasn't really finished well in this series because the Raptors just fly around and they give a lot of help. But Robert Williams just jumps over people and dunks it. And I actually think that could be – they've got to figure out a way to get him minutes in advantageous situations. And I think starting him might be that way. Is that a wild, wild, wild
– to say that Robert Williams –
is the difference maker, is the X factor?
Difference maker in a playoff series in 2020?
I'm pretty sure.
Hang on. I'm pretty sure – a believer of the Time Lord. I like Time Lord, though. You saw it, but I don't go that hard.
I'm pretty sure Jay and I had this exact conversation where – the conversation eventually wound up with the Celtics ceiling being very much about Rob Williams, because the one glaring issue that they have is, you know, they're small in the middle, and Robert Williams with his athleticism is a game changer for them.
I'm shaving off a game. This is unbelievable. it's the first time Enes Kanter has been to the Eastern Conference playoffs. Which is kind of incredible. Obviously, he didn't make it because there are no Knicks allowed. Just like with Manscaped, no Knicks. No Knicks on your nads, guys. With the Lawnmower 3.0, it's the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Waz, I know you're in on this. I know you're all about the wireless, waterproof, ceramic blade, skin-safe technology of the Lawnmower 3.0.
Version 3 is incredible. No cleanup required because, like you said, it's waterproof and you can do it in the shower, which is my special place. You actually put me onto that, Zach. Changed my balls for the better. And I just love the ease of use. No nicks, no cuts. You don't want cuts down there, guys. Like, and this is just so easy to use, self-explanatory, beautifully clean, close shave. You're just going to look like a baby. It's great.
Yeah. Plus, they got this Shears 2.0 luxury four-piece nail kit. Guys, you know, I type a lot. My hands are very important to me, but I don't take care of them until I got the Shears 2.0 Luxury 4-Piece Nail Kit. Now I got those rounded scissor points. I got those slash tip tweezers, the fingernail clippers. And this is the key, okay? This is what has unlocked my comfort with my hands. The nail file. And it's not like super grit. And it's not a low amount of grit like maybe a Timberwolves team, right? It's medium grit. It's the Goldilocks of grit on this nail file. And now I can just kind of smooth everything out. It's the best thing you can possibly do. Plus, you can get the boxers. You can get the ball deodorant. You can get the spray-on toner. You can get all that stuff. You get 20% off plus free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. That's THEATHLETIC20. Promo code for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. From the moose to the caboose, take your grooming game to the next level. Speaking of next level, let's go to the Clippers and the Nuggets. I was on the radio Sunday night with Amin Al-Hassan doing the postgame, or Saturday night with Amin Al-Hassan doing the postgame show after the Nuggets just took apart the Clippers. And Amin had a great observation of this Clippers team where they look like a pickup team that just met 5 minutes ago. Like, that's how they're playing.
They did.
But aren't they, though?
I mean, they really did.
Like,
are they?
Because everybody was in and out of the lineup the entire season. And then the bubble starts, and they got to work Lou Will back. And then, of course, Montrez had the tragedy.
Trez didn't get there until the playoffs.
Like, they haven't been this whole – they traded for Marcus Morris, like – and they didn't bring Reggie Jackson, and he's getting rotational minutes. Like, they haven't been this group for any extended period of time all season. So it's kind of understandable, you know? Or nah?
I mean, like this, like they've at least gotten like 20-ish games together. If we're not talking Reggie Jackson, right? Like, I just feel like, I don't know. Yeah,
They just haven't played together that much. I mean, I think Waz kind of laid it all out there. And so it is funny that a team that was this good during the regular season managed to win that many games looking like this for most of the year. Between that and just being too cool for school, where they were acting like that's the third year they were defending the title.
As somebody who's
that's a Doc Rivers special, baby. Who's
been around the team all year, like that is a confident, bordering on arrogant group over there. Like they just know they're going to win the championship no matter what this season. That's kind of been their attitude all year long.
This is a Kawhi thing, though, right? Not him influence, but them just going, shit, we got Kawhi. How are we going to lose this thing? Right. Like, and you saw it because last night he couldn't, right. or Saturday night he couldn't get going. Right. And then they got cooked. Right. Yeah. And they got cooked because of it. But I got to think that's just a belief in we have Kawhi, so we'll be fine. He'll save the day if we don't have it. Man, it's funny because there are a lot of people who don't like this Clippers team. And I keep wondering why, but then I realize I just love Kawhi so much that I'm letting that blind me from all the other people on the roster I shouldn't like. And I think that's all it is, because I see this. I'm like, how do you guys not like the Clippers? And I'm like, all right, I just like Kawhi.
I don't even care about these other guys. Bro, yeah. Like they are.
They act like they've won the title. It's amazing.
They really do. They have the biggest swings from one game to the next of any team. Like, I'll watch them one game and be like, that team is definitely going to win a title. Then the next, I'll be like, yeah, they're going to get stomped out of the second round. So I do think that things will be tougher for Kawhi in this series. He's not playing against smaller wings anymore. It's like
Jeremy Grant was great against him.
Grant is mm-hmm. long. What is he, 6'9"? He's athletic. And so they have some bigger wings who can at least make him a little more uncomfortable. Obviously, that he doesn't really get affected by too much. But I do think the matchups on Denver are just a little tougher, probably a lot tougher than it was for him in that first round series against Dallas.
And
Denver's defense isn't good, but like, the way that he'll attack them, they can handle, not handle, but like they'll do better against him than they will against a Donovan Mitchell.
The Denver isn't a good defense, but with Gary Harris and when Paul Millsap looks like he did in game two, they can at least not get destroyed like they did against Utah.
Yeah, Harris is a big deal for them.
Well, especially if he's hitting shots too, because that's when it really matters.
Well, you can't count on that.
Yeah, no, like I know that. I mean, it's been a while since he was a consistent shooter, but I do think like if that part is back as well, he's a good defender, but I also just think that the Clippers will solve it. I think the Clippers will be fine.
Oh, yeah.
I do wonder though. We kind of felt like this about the Clippers. Not that they were in danger necessarily, but after they lost to. You know, to Dallas a little bit, like we kind of like, oh no, the Clippers. And I do feel like it's just going to be their team that believes they can flip the switch. And I think the only team that can hurt them in the West if they try to flip the switch on them and not take it seriously is the Lakers. Like, I don't think this Denver team can legitimately put them in danger unless an injury happens.
Well, Zach, it's just overreaction every series with any team that has a higher seed. At this point, you drop one, it's just like, oh man, you better watch out. I had Denver getting two out of this, regardless of when or how late or how early of a series it was going to be. But I do see the Clippers clawing out of this. And, you know, I'm glad that Denver didn't actually lay down, because you don't – I mean, all those sweeps are cool and funny and stuff like that. You don't want that. You don't want that. I'd rather see guys, you know, because that's why we complain about matchups. We like, well, we hate this other team and we don't like this other team, but we prefer this matchup.
Right.
And at least they're competing at the end of the day. And yeah, I don't want to jump the gun and say Lakers Clippers and all that other stuff. I'm just going one game at a time. But as long as the series is good and they compete, it looks good for me. But, you know, Denver's not going to lay down, especially with Gary Harris finally deciding to show up. You know, he was no man. He was like out of the bubble. He was there, but physically, mentally, not there, you know. So, at the end of the day, like they have tons of talent too. You can't sleep on them. They deserve to be where they are. They got there for a reason. and they figured it out. But I think as high as the scale is, no matter who it is, Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, their quote unquote bad games are crazy. Like people was like, oh, he had a bad game. And it's like, well, you look down the line, that's actually a good game for an average player, you know? So
Right. Expectations
are high. And I think Kawhi he's such a perfectionist in how he goes about things. I think he'll be able to fine tune some stuff. And he probably was kicking himself for a couple of things that he did and couldn't stop. You know what I mean? Like, shit, Denver had 43 in the first quarter. I don't see the Clippers doing that again, giving that up.
Yeah, and after they smacked them around the first game, you know that Denver doesn't have this team's respect or attention. Like, that's just kind of how it goes. It's like, this team is not going to actually challenge us. So I'm not surprised they came out in game two and was like, eh, whatever. We'll figure out how to beat these guys while giving it our C-level effort, you know. But I don't think they'll have much trouble. It wouldn't surprise me if they won the next three games pretty handily.
Dave, like we were tweeting about this the other night to each other of, I think you asked me, and this was after game one, right, where the Clippers just laid them out after the first quarter. And you asked me if I thought they would sweep, and my answer was like, no. Because Waz and I have seen this team up close all year. Like, this Clippers team does not lock in. They just don't, like, they don't feel any urgency at all. Even, it was one thing to not feel urgency in the regular season, but now it is the playoffs, right? Like, not that I think Denver could find a way, unless Kawhi got hurt, to, like, even if Paul George went down, I would still believe that the Clippers would win the series. But it's like, it is maddening to watch this team. I'm like, could you guys just give a shit for the rest of this month? Like, just a month. Give us a month of giving a shit just to see what it looks like. I just want to see what that basketball looks
like. I'd love to see what it looked like. Yeah. If they would just lock in and play basketball for the next, I don't know, what how many wins do they need to win a title?
12,
You know, or just run the table.
Point, yeah.
Show us that you can do it. We know Kawhi can do it. And you know, that's the funny thing about this is that this game isn't nearly as lopsided if the most consistent player in the league doesn't have a way off
night. I mean, and plus they have all that practice they can fall back on. No, I'm just.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look. Doc's golf game is so good.
Do they have golf on the campus?
I'm sure he's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got like a simulator or something. Right? He's
got
to do that.
Oh, they got golf. They got golf. Okay. They got golf.
So, is anyone worried about an upset here? Anyone think an upset might happen?
No, I'm doing. I have this running game on Twitter. Every time somebody loses, like I just tweet, are the Heat in trouble? So I did that last night, and people thought I was serious about the Clippers, but no, I'm not, man. I think they're gonna kill this team.
Maybe it'll make a great story someday if the Nuggets do pull off the upset, which you could tell thanks to Artifact. Oh my God, today's show is sponsored by Artifact. It sets you up with one of their professional interviewers to capture stories about important things, people in your life, stories, whatever you want. Think about it like a podcast about whatever you want it to be. They can capture family history with parents, grandparents, any of that stuff. Talked about friends and family as a birthday, wedding, anniversary gift, both about how they've made a difference in your life and share some hilarious stories. And when you're ready to make an artifact on your own, use the code, what's that code? NBA. Use the code NBA, guys. And use the code NBA at heyartifact.com. You're going to get $40 off. That's heyartifact.com. Use the code NBA, just like the league that you're following, this, you know, the Athletic NBA show, NBA, National Basketball Association, just NBA. You get $40 off Artifact right there. All right, it's a little weird because we're recording this one on a Sunday before Game 2 of Rockets-Lakers. So, maybe the Lakers evened it up. Maybe the Rockets went up 2-0 in a very commanding way, in a very Miami Heat-esque way, Jay. You know, maybe that's what's happened by the time everyone's listening to this.
Don't bring that up again.
By the time everyone's listening to this, maybe the Rockets are the new Heat. Who knows? Right. Who knows? I don't know what's going on. But based on game one and based on the idea that the Lakers, we do know they're not going to change their starting lineup going into game two. They're going to stay big. And we heard from Chris Haynes that Anthony Davis is willing to play the center position against the Rockets.
Breaking news!
So, Waz, this Lakers team, there are some warts, obviously. Yeah. You know, Alex Caruso was the third leading scorer for them in game one, and no shock, they got beat. Right. But what do you think about just kind of the the strategy of this series? Like, do you think the Lakers should go big, remain big against this Rockets team, or should they kind of conform a little bit and hope that they their athleticism when going small is better just because they have AD?
I think they just got to run their shit. Just run your stuff. Stop with the AD isolating against PJ Brown from 19 feet away. That's not offense. That's not what y'all been doing all season. Run your stuff. And, you know, play as normal as you can. I think that's the trick about the Rockets is that they trick people into thinking they should do things that they haven't been doing all season long. And the Lakers played into that. And part of how I know some of this is them not running their stuff and some of it is effort. It's like the Rockets basically blew this game open when James Harden was on the bench. And I'm just like, all right, the Lakers are fucking around. Like, even if you love the Rockets, you know the best version of this team doesn't have James Harden on the freaking bench, right? And so I think it reminded me of the Portland game one where the Lakers sort of sleepwalked through it. It reminded me of a lot of LeBron game ones where he's just like, nah, whatever, doing my cool guy act, not going to really try and put the pedal to the metal, blah, blah, blah. But I think they'll be fine as long as they...
What does he call it, a feel-out game?
Yes, yes. I mean, but, yo, if you remember 2012 against Oklahoma City, they lost by like 10, and they came out of the game, they were like, nah, we were kind of just figuring out what they did, and they won the next four games. Like, it happens a lot with LeBron, like, where they do this whole, all right, we're just going to lollygag for a game or a half or whatever. I think you'll see a better effort tonight. Yeah.
Well, and they're probably going to shoot better.
Man, I'm calling this a Lakers win. They wear Kobe jerseys. Watch out.
Yeah, to me, they have to do a better job of attacking. Like Waz said, you can't have the post-ups against P.J. Tucker. Like, those aren't going anywhere. Even though it's Anthony Davis, even though it's a dude a lot shorter than Anthony Davis, that's what the Rockets want. But to me, like, this series for the Lakers, they need to make it grimy. Their defense needs to lead the way because their offense, man, is just not very good. They'll make more shots.
It's terrible. It's just they have two of the most impressive offensive players in the league, but it's just garbage. Like, it's a bad offense.
Yeah, but they have to win.
I
want to
push back, Jay. I want to push back on the no post-up thing. You can post up, but post up LeBron. Like, they've just stopped doing that. And he's, an insanely efficient post-up player. And this is a series where you could actually take advantage of that matchup, and even invert him and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis can hit the three.
I don't know.
Have him on the outside, right? Like, I just don't understand why you're not going to attack them. If you're going to try to attack a mismatch, why not use the best mismatch you've got?
Yeah, and that's sign number one when you know that they haven't done the break class in case of emergency stuff with LeBron when he's not posting. In fact, he had this one post up against PJ Tucker where he shot the ball backwards. Like, he didn't turn around to shoot the rock. He just shot it over his head. And I was like, disgusting. What the fuck is going on?
That was god awful. That really was. That's the movie you put on when you play a one-on-one with your kid.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
I didn't understand that at all. And I'm truly, truly trying to understand the concept. I know the Rockets right now are using Chris Clemens as the imitator to be LeBron in practice, which is kind of funny. But
that's hilarious.
You know, the same way Dave said. Like, I mean, it just all depends, man. I like the way PJ Tucker's playing. You know, Russell Westbrook's fired up, and if James can. This series is better than what people are saying and making it out to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with that. That's the thing. You know, everybody's like, oh, they ain't got no big man. And it's like, okay, that's dead. We're not doing that anymore. But LeBron can't pack it in on some plays. Guys can't miss shots like that. You know what I mean? Like, if they play, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron get their points and they do all the other stuff and the other team just kind of, I mean, like, and the supporting cast packs it in. You know, that's the thing. The Rockets live and die by three. So when they shooting the threes and they making them, if they missing them, the Lakers can blow them out by 30. So I'm not really rolling with the whole great defense thing. I do think that the Rockets are playing good defense, but I'm not going to just praise them and make them just like the ultimate lockdown team as everybody else is doing right now. And I don't like that we're giving LeBron the whole fill out game thing either.
No, just go dominate, man. Just like,
yeah, yeah. It's just like, it's just, he's, it's just too good much strategy for that, yeah, for him to be laying off on that. You know what I mean? Like, just if you quote unquote need rest, or you're built different as he claims to be, then just take care of these guys and get them out of the way. Like,
yeah, if the just, Rockets end up winning the series, then he's gonna come out in a cast for the press conference.
You know, I hope like not. I like hope just, not. He better not.
He punched, right, punched
just,
Mickey Mouse.
I just want to see, like, I want to see LeBron like take 25 shots in these games. Like,
that
just go
never,
like
that
I
never
get, he's got a, he's the point guard and all this stuff. I just want to see him go be dominant, because we know he can do it. Like, as good as some of the defenders on Houston are, no one can touch him. Right? Like, he, if he wants to be overwhelming, he can be overwhelming, and he can do it on both ends. Before we end the pod, I do want to play my favorite game, Is He a Fraud? And I want to do it just one contestant today. That fraudulent contestant, potentially fraudulent contestant, is Anthony Davis, guys.
Mm.
Is Anthony Davis a fraud?
Anthony Davis is nobody's one-on-one killer. That's just straight up and down. Yep. That's been proven. That's been borne out over time. He's a guy that needs to be set up. I don't think he's going to, like, be able to attack any particular Mitch. Like, I'm sure if you get Russ on him, or you get a Macklemore on him, or you get, you know, the Rockets have some vulnerabilities in their switching scheme. But for the most part, he's not just going to get the ball and dominate P.J. Tucker. That's just not what he does, man.
Well, he's the world's best role player.
Here's the other thing. Right. And so what I was going to say is, if you're not able to make the guys around you better, which he definitely does on the defensive end, but he doesn't do it on the offensive end.
I don't know about that on defense. He had a great defensive year, but also, like, when LeBron wasn't on the court, that defense was garbage.
It wasn't
garbage.
As good.
Like, it was like, right, like from 103 to 109.
I'll give him the benefit
like
of the
that.
Doubt.
Like,
I'll give him some credit on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, he doesn't do it. Now, clearly, LeBron is going to handle the majority of that, but in those non-LeBron lineups where you've got AD out there, I'd like to see him be more active as a creator, and not necessarily just for himself. Get him in the mid post. Let guys run stuff off of him. I mean, I understand this is going back to the Lakers offense just right, not being very good, but maybe some of the limitations are because of the role he's being asked to play versus the role he could play. I'm just not sure. We need a little bit more.
Okay,
you
so
know,
what? Is AD a fraud?
AD's not a fraud. AD's not a fraud. He's gonna give. He's. I bet you he'll score 30 something points at least a couple times this series.
Yeah. No, he does that in a lot of losses. Trey, is AD a fraud?
So AD's not a fraud, but we need to stop comparing him to Kevin Garnett.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I've been on this since day one. I'm so sick of this comparison. They're nothing alike.
No,
they're tall.
They're just tall.
And they're from Chicago, sort of. KG moved to Chicago when he was in high school.
They got
to
stop disrespecting KG like that, though. Right. Don't ever do KG like that.
Yeah, from
bro.
Chicago. He lived there 3 months. Yeah, no, Trey, I'm with you. This whole KG comparison is, it's closer to Marcus Camby than KG, and he's way better than Marcus Camby.
There you go.
I'm just not. I'm not having it. Dave, fraud or not fraud?
Oh. I'm going to say not a fraud.
Jay?
Say not a fraud.
Could
he do more?
Yes. Yeah, that is. That did sound a little hesitant.
I was. I think you could still be like a really good number two guy without being a fraud.
Jay?
Can AD be the best player on a championship team?
Not unless he takes a leap that we haven't seen yet. Jay, is AD a fraud?
No, he's not a fraud. And he doesn't have to be the best player on a championship team. I do think that for him,
3 years.
This series, to me, he needs to get free throws. He needs to get offensive rebounds. He needs to kill their switches. He needs to do all that dirty stuff. That's how he's going to destroy the Rockets, is by doing all that stuff.
Yeah, it's crashing the boards, getting the garbage buckets, drawing fouls. It's not going
to
be.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got to get to the free throw.
It's not
going to
be these cute step back. No, get that out of here. Is going to be doing the dirty stuff. And I think they need to play him and Howard more. That's just what I believe. I just think that's how they're going to punish them. That's how they're going to get all the offensive rebounds. That's how I think they're going to win this matchup, is actually like embracing their strengths here.
Remember when this Warriors media tried to make us think JaVale McGee was a thing?
It was just Ethan Sherwood Strauss.
Because he played with the four best players. Yeah. And, yeah, that's true. It was just that. I think it was a little bit of Tim Bond.
He's like, look, he would play more, but he's got asthma. I'm like, what's the problem for an NBA guy?
JaVale's got multiple championships, guys.
Okay, I think that's our cue.
That's the clue. And by the way, AD is 100% fraud. But we don't have time to explain that right now, so we'll have to do that next week when we take our victory lap on the Miami Heat. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Check out all the other shows. We got Tampering this week. We got Hoops Adjacent. We got Point of Contention. We got Nerdish You Wrote to round out the week. Make sure you check out No Dunks, all the team shows. Click follow. Use the comment section. All that good stuff. Subscribe to The Athletic and make sure you keep reading all that coverage. And we got a cool new thing coming out that I just realized I can't talk about yet. So, I don't know. It's like a week and then we can talk about that. But for Jay King, Dave DeFore, Trevon Edwards, Wazzy Lambre, Andrew Schleck, I'm Zach Harper. Thanks for listening to The Athletic.